I do love teaching God's word. I'll tell you what, though, teaching through Exodus has been a challenge. Today we're gonna do a what they call some people call a 30,000-foot overview because there is no way I could go through all of this in several months, even. But I really want to begin with thanking Stephen. He did a great job, an amazing teaching last week. I was just really blessed by it. And I'm sure, and I heard from others too, that they were also very blessed by his teaching. He taught us Exodus chapter 25. So this week we're going to continue. And we're going to continue from what Stephen was teaching. He gave us many lessons that we learned through Exodus 25. As we were in Exodus 25, we learned about the offerings and how we should always be giving, and God wants us to be giving from a willing heart. And also we saw that as people gave these offerings, that God used those who had given with a willing heart to accomplish his will. There is so much depth, so much symbolism, so many amazing things in Exodus. I mean, again, I could spend a week on each of these things that we're going to go over tonight in the tabernacle. But my heart on Wednesday night is to just give an overview, just to go through the book of Exodus and continue on through the Old Testament. So that way, maybe we can get through the Old Testament in 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure how long. And this is even with giving a summary of many of these chapters. You know, there's been many, many books written just on the tabernacle itself and all the symbolism and the importance. It's so rich. It's so rich, and there's so much there for us. And if you've ever or not ever looked into it, I suggest sometime really digging in deep and looking at all these different things. You will learn so much about who our God is and how big he is. It's really amazing. Now, I'm just going to do a quick review on chapter 25, which Stephen already taught last week, but then I'm going to go all the way through today through chapter 28. Now, some of you are like, wow, that's a lot. And others, you're like, you're going to miss so much. And there's a lot of opinions, but I just really feel we just want to do a survey of this. And again, I do encourage you, though, if you want an amazing Bible study, dig into the tabernacle. It is amazing. Again, a basic teaching tonight, as God is preparing this place for his presence to dwell among his people. So if you've got your Bibles, let's go ahead. Everyone need a Bible? Let's open up to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. I'm going to need to turn that AC off. It's blowing my pages. Everybody ready in Exodus 25? Now, again, we know Stephen, he begun that chapter. He went through the whole chapter and he taught about the offerings that God had desired to give, the itemized list of all that was asked of the people. And again, we see this and we know that as God is asking for these things, it's not that he needed these things from these people to accomplish his will. God could have done this all without this. But he asked the people, his people, to participate, to be part of what God was going to do, and to give offerings from their heart. And I think it's pretty awesome when I think about that. You know, we've been looking at the law right before this, right? That's where we've been, looking at the Ten Commandments and all the rules and the regulations for Israel. And we also see, though, as God has called these people and us today to be obedient to the law. But here, what we're starting to see now is more. It's not just the law and being obedient to the law and following all the rules and the commandments. He's asking for more. Now he's asking for sacrifice or for an offering. Really, what he's asking for, I see, is worship. Worship. Again, it's not just following the rules, but he wants a relationship with them. He wants them to come in his presence, not just to obey him. So again, he started this with this offering. And through this offering, then after the offering, we'll see how the tabernacle shall be built. So again, Exodus chapter 25. Please turn there. We're not going to read it all, by the way. I'm going to just go through it. So we start with looking at the first 9 verses. And again, Stephen went through this here. But what I saw as you open your Bibles here and look at it, what you see here, as I just spoke about, starting even in verse 2, you see how the Lord had spoke to Moses. And he said, accept the contributions from all whose hearts are moved to offer them. I think that's really, really important. And then he says, here's the offering he may accept from them. And he gives all these things that were needed. And again, this was all for the purpose of building the tabernacle, the holy sanctuary. And as he gave these instructions, there's so many lessons that I see already just in the first 9 verses, as you can kind of look at that as I'm speaking. That's the way we're going to kind of do that today. Is, again, God doesn't need us to do this here. He says, accept the contributions from all whose hearts are moved to offer them. But in love, if we will come before him and offer to him everything that we have, he then will take our offerings and use these things here to build this dwelling place, to build his kingdom. Again, God wants a person with a willing heart to give. And now we saw that. Stephen talked a lot about that last week. And so this tabernacle, now that we start to get into, we know this is going to be a sanctuary, is one word you could use, or this is a place that was specifically set apart. This was a place where God would meet his people in fellowship through the high priest. And we're going to look at the plans of what this should, will look like as God has given this to Moses. And I find it very interesting. Now, some of you may or may not know that I was a builder for many years. I built houses, I built churches, I built apartments, I built many things. And maybe some of you have some experience of doing this. But in all the building that I ever did, it's pretty much the same. You start, like I was a framer by trade. I grew up first kind of a laborer, but a framer was my trade. So we built the walls. You know, the wood walls or middle walls, whatever they're made out of. So when we go up on the job site, the first thing we would always do is you build all the walls, right? And then after you build all the walls, then you put the roof on, right? And then you have a shell. And then you go inside and you start building all the interior walls and all the interior finish and putting all the appliances and everything that goes inside the house after you've already created the outside. That's pretty standard construction, no matter, I think, where you are really in the world. You don't usually put your furniture out there and then start building walls next, right? You build the shell first. Now, keep that in mind. As we are going to get into these instructions here, as we're going to look at the next verses in 10 through 22. Take a look at 10 through 22, the ark, plans for the ark of the covenant. It says, have the people make an ark of acacia wood, a sacred chest, and it gives the measurements. Then they overlay it with gold and the molding. Then there's the rings. And then here in verse 16, it says, when the ark is finished, place inside the stone tablets, which we talked about, the Ten Commandments, which he'll give you. And then it continues in verse 17. It says, make the ark's cover, a place for atonement, from pure gold. And then it talks about the cherubim, and Stephen went all through that. He gives some amazing pictures. I don't know if we have that up there. We have some pictures. There you go. There's a picture of it. And he really talked a lot about it. And as we look at that, as we see these plans in the cover of the ark, we know this is also known as a place of atonement. This tabernacle was going to be built, right? This tent, this dwelling, But it was interesting as we see the instructions from God, where does God start? With his presence inside. That's where it all begins. He starts with a place where God would reside, and then from that, everything around it would be built. He starts from the inside, not the outside. That goes against, like, me as a builder, we always start from the outside. But God doesn't always, he doesn't work that way. He changes the inside. And he starts inside, and then we'll see, then he will continue here, and we'll see the outside. So in some of these things, there's more things. If you look at, again, in chapter 25, look at 23 through 30. We see the plans for the table. Again, this is made out of acacia wood again. It gives the measurements. It's overlaid with gold and the molding. And as we look at it all, and then there's also, it says here, I think here in verse 28, it has the poles. And then it has 29, it has the containers of pure gold for the table, bowls, ladles, pitchers, and jars. See that? We got a nice picture of that, a representation. And to be used in the pouring out the liquid offering. It says, then place the bread of presence on the table to remain before me at all times. So again, now we have more stuff that's inside, what's going to be later the whole inside. And then he's going to go outside. Again, there's no walls or structure even mentioned yet. But a table, which the offerings would be on, this bread of presence would be shown, showbread. Now, we know there's so much symbolism in this bread and what it means, and a reminder of what it is. It's our substance, right? We know as Jesus, we see as we take communion, his body was broken for us. We have the bread. There's so much symbolism in there. And we're not going to go a lot of that today. As again, I'm doing a great big overview of this. I'm going to go through all of these. But if you really want to dig into this, it's really amazing. And we see the 12 tribes, the 12 loaves. You know, when I saw this picture, I kind of funny, I always think of loaves of bread like long and like French bread. And I saw this picture, I'm like, oh yeah, that's how they stack that up there. We don't know if that's exactly what it looked like with the bread on there, but I'm sure the picture is close in some way. If we continue in chapter 25, what do we see next in 31? The lampstand. And it says here, make a lampstand, pure hammered gold. And it gives so much details as you read this through. And there's so much in it. And you look in the end, it's got the snuffers and the trays. And then it's interesting in verse 39, it says 75 pounds of gold. It's a lot of gold. So we know that the tabernacle here is where God would reside. And we also see, though, these lampstands or these seven lamps, we know a fire throughout Scripture. We see in Revelation, we see it. We also see these seven lamps represent the presence of the Spirit in heaven. So there's so much symbolism here in this. And we're going to come back to that here in a little bit. I'm not going to quite leave the lampstands alone, but I'm going to come back to it in a bit later on. But for now, we'll just jump right over to chapter 26. Look at chapter 26. Again, it continues with the plans, and now it's talking about beginning with the 10 curtains. And as you read this, it gives all the details here. And when I first read it, I said in verse 2, it says these 10 curtains must be exactly the same size, 42 feet long and 6 feet wide. And then it says to join the 5 of these curtains together to make one long curtain, then join the other 5 in a second long curtain. And it goes on. I'm like, what does that look like? This is why I love pictures. I think we have an area to go. I love pictures. Give you some ideas, perhaps, what this kind of looked like. Because when I read it, I'm like, how did they do this? And this is kind of what it may have looked like, somewhat. And then it continues in verse 7. It says, make 11 curtains. And this one is the goat hair, it says. And this was a second covering. This would have been a very dark fabric, probably, thick and coarse. And this was, again, by joining all this fabric together. And this, you think about this, again, each strip now was 45 feet and 6 feet wide. That's a big piece of fabric. I mean, that would have been, I've been downtown to the fabric store where they got the big rolls everywhere. And that's, so I have some like reference of that. Them things are really heavy. And this was really thick. Again, as you look at this, this was a very like a skin probably. And we know that as thick as it would have been and the different layers that would have been there, this would have completely blocked out all of the light that would have been in the tabernacle, which we're going to come back to the lampstand. The only light then, once all of this was together, would have been through the lampstand. Again, we're going to come back to that. But if you continue and just look in chapter 26, now, this is kind of my area. Like if you look at verse 15, we have what's called the framework. And it gives us details of what the frame, the structure underneath this would have been to support all of these curtains or this outer skins. This was quite a strong structure. There had to have been a lot of detail to this structure. And it gives all these different things. It says each board was made of acacia wood, again, overlaid with gold. We say each board was 15 feet high and about 2 feet wide. That's a big piece of lumber. That's a big post. Like we did once in a while in construction, we did like what's called post and beam construction. They do that in concrete here, but we did it in wood. You get these big posts and you put them in the ground and you stand them up and then you build it and then you fill in. That's kind of what they were doing here. Because next you see here is the crossbars. If you continue to look in there. And so they have this post and beam kind of construction with all of these curtains draped over it and making this tent or this tabernacle. In Nevada, I shared a lot with you guys in the past. I used to do a lot of hunting and outdoor stuff in Nevada. And I had what was called a wall tent. It was a canvas tent. Maybe some of the military are familiar with it. And it had, you know, first thing you would do is you would have all these poles. And then you would drape the canvas over it. And then you would put all the cross members in. And then you would tie it down. It was a tent. So I can kind of think of a picture. This is really a lot bigger, of course. But it's very interesting when you think about it. Again, so we see 20 boards that were on just the south side. We just talked about how big these were, right? There's 20 boards on the south. The north and sides had 20 boards. The back also had 6 boards wide with 2 corner boards. So a total of 8 boards across the back. So this is very, very sturdy. And then you had the other boards would go horizon on the horizon this way, going this way, this way, this way. Now, look at verse 30. I want to spend just a minute looking at verse 30. It says, set up this tabernacle according to the pattern you were shown on the mountain. So we know as Moses came down to share this with the people, God had revealed to him these plans. But I think as much as maybe he had the actual plans and all these instructions, right? I think he had instructions like this many boards. This is the exact instructions that we have here. Moses also, I believe, had a vision. He's seen exactly what God was asking him to do, a picture. And so I think as you see that Moses has had these plans, he's had a vision from God. And now he is sharing it with the people. And now they're looking at building this dwelling place where God would come and they would have fellowship with him. You know, I see this even today. God will work through many people that way. He can give us a vision and saying, this is what I would have you do. And then the person could share that with the church or those around him. And then together in offering, they'd come together and they would build that place. You know, Moses and what he experienced on Mount Sinai, there's no way that he could have remained silent in what he had seen or shown him. But in fact, he went and shared the vision that God had given him. And then through the people, the work would be done. Anyways, let's continue. Look at just now 31 through 35. Again, big overview. This is interesting, though, because now we have the outer, right? But now look, it says in 31, for the inside of the tabernacle, make a special curtain. And we see and continue, look at verse 33, hang the inner curtain and put the Ark of the Covenant in the room behind it. This curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. This was special. This was different now. And it continues then and talks about, then put the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, on top of the Ark of the Covenant inside the most holy place, and place the table outside the inner curtain on the north side of the tabernacle, and then place the lampstand across the room on the south side. Now, when you think about this, like a curtain is talking about here, it says, from the inside, make a special curtain. You know, in Jewish tradition, and many people say, you know how thick they say that curtain was? They say it's as much as 4 fingers is what I've heard, is how thick that curtain was as I was reading on it. We don't give exact specifics, but this was a very, very multiple layers, very heavy curtain. Very large. I couldn't even imagine how much it would have weighed. But there was no one would be able to see from the holy place to the most holy place. This veil now was inside of this tent, creating a separation between these two rooms within the tabernacle. Again, the holy place was the larger room we had. And then when you entered in, you had the showbread and the altar and the lampstands. And the second apartment, again, the most holy place, a smaller room with the Ark of the Covenant. So there was these two rooms. And in between these two rooms, between all these other things, and then the Ark, was this barrier, this curtain. And we know that no priest, even the high priest, only could go in one time a year, and only the high priest in once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, we're going to learn more about that as we look at their dress. But as we look at this picture, I think that we're already seeing with the most holy place, with the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God inside of this room. What we see is a picture already in this temple. And if we were to turn to the Old Testament, we see on Jesus' death, does everyone know what happened when the veil was torn? The veil was torn, we know from what? The top to the bottom. And we see that when this happened, that veil, that barrier between us and God was removed. Again, there's a lot of symbolism here. There's a lot more in the New Testament. In Matthew 27:51, this is there. But now, today, as we see in this picture then, today the most holy place is open. We can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the veil has been removed and torn. Now, we know in the other room we had these different pieces of furniture, right? We had the altar, the table, the showbread, and the lampstand. Each one of them is a symbol. We have the altar of incense, the incense rising up, a symbol of prayer. Then you have the table of the showbread. This is our fellowship, our substance with God. And then we have the lampstand, the illumination, or many people would say even Jesus. Let's look at 36 and 37. Finish this chapter up. It says, then make another curtain for the entrance to the sacred tent. And again, so now we have the main entrance, the covering on the east entrance. And this, again, would have been the only way into the tabernacle, the very end of this. So let's look at 27 now. This goes into the altar. Now it says, use Acadia word again to correct a square altar. And it gives all the details here. It has horns on the side of each four corners. And then also has all the things that you need with the altar here. It says make ash buckets, shovels, basin, meat forks, fire pans. You're making out of this bronze. And then it talks about even how to do the grating halfway down. And then also the poles and how to carry it and how they're overlaid with bronze. Now, again, I find this interesting. At the end of this in verse 8, it says, the altar must be hollow, made from wood planks. Build it just as you were shown on the mountain. So again, there's a picture. As you read it, there's a picture of it. Now, as you look at the meaning of altar, this was known as a place where sacrifice was given, where also the atonement for our sin was made. So this is where the sacrifices would be given. Now we have all these utensils I talked about, right? All the shovels and all the parts that would go into this. Meat forks, it even says, fire pans. Each one of these was very specifically made and given instructions and set aside for this work of giving this. You think the pans, right? They had the pans. Again, they hold the ashes after the sacrifice. You had the basins to catch the blood of the animals. You had the forks to arrange the sacrifice. You had the fire pans for carrying the fire from the altar incense into the holy place. You had the grate, provided the floor so the ashes could fall through and continue with the offering. So God had a very detailed plan of what all this would look like. Continue and look at 9 through 19. Plans for the courtyard. It says, then make the courtyard for the tabernacle. We got a picture. There's the courtyard. You can see all around there. It gives all these other details in this, and how what it should look like, and for the entrance, and how it should look. Now this, you can see that around the outside of it, this was a fence which marked this place off and provided an area about 150 by 75 feet, or 50 meters by 25 meters. I guess it depends where you're from, right? This was a pretty good area. The tent itself, if you look at the size, and then the size of the courtroom, they say the tent was about one-fifth the size of the courtyard. So there was a lot of room where people would come in here and prepare. Now you see this courtyard, it provided a barrier and an entryway to come into the presence of God. It prevented people that should not be in there from coming in there. It was protection. It kept out even wild animals as they were sacrificing. This was a line that was drawn between the rest of the world and the presence of God. Now, I noticed one thing as we get into all of this and even the picture. What you see is one thing I noticed about the entrance. This is a big area. But there's only how many entrances into this courtyard? One. There's only one entrance, only one gate, only one way to enter. There's a lot of symbolism, right? It's the same with Jesus, right? There's one way. There was one way here. There's no, you can't go through the back. You need to go the right way, the correct way. And today we do that through faith in Jesus Christ. But here, in this whole thing, there was not multiple gates. There was one gate and one way. Now, this is where we said we'd come back to this in the lamps. Look at chapter 27, verses 20 through 21. Command the people of Israel to bring pure oil of pressed olives for the light, and keep the lamps burning continually. The lampstands will stand in the tabernacle in the front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant behind the curtain. Aaron and his sons must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. This is a permanent law for the people of Israel and must be observed. So the priest job, part of their responsibilities, was to tend these lamps, to make sure the lamps had enough oil to burn, that the wicks they would have on them would be trimmed correctly, and so that these lamps would never go out. God instructed them that they should never lose their fire. A continual supply of oil and the trimming of the wicks, whatever was needed by the priest, they needed to be continually burning. And I think about that now. And I was reading on this. I stole a lot of this from a lot of commentaries. There's a lot here. But I think about this now. And what does that mean? What's that look like today in our life? What is the fire today in our lives? What should be continually burning in our lives today that we need to maintain also today? We need to also today be continually supplied through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, so we also can continue burning and to giving light in this dark world and pointing everyone to Jesus. Let's continue. Look at 28. This is clothing. 28. The first five verses here, it continues. It says, saying, set them apart from the rest of the people of Israel so they may minister to me and be my priest. And it talks about their garments. Make them garments. So we know that as God is setting them apart, he's also setting these garments apart. And he says, all these garments you see, and they're going to be used for God's glory and to reveal his beauty. And I mean, you think about this, these guys, this would have been very ornate, very glorious, very beautiful. And it's interesting as he's talking here, as you see that it says, there's a blessing even in here. It says, the craftsmen, look at that, verse 3, instruct all the skilled craftsmen who I've filled with the spirit of wisdom. Have them make the garments. There's even a gifting, I believe, from the Holy Spirit to the craftsmen that would make these garments for the priests. And he continues to clothe and to provide for the priest in verses 6 through 14. The craftsmen must take the ephod of the finely woven lawn and fully embroidered with gold, silver, purple, and it goes on in scarlet thread, and gives all these, and it says, verse 9, takes onyx stones and engraves them the names of the tribes of Israel. Six names will be on each side of the stone in range of the order. Look, we got a kind of a picture up here. It's not a great picture, I'm sorry, but you can get some kind of idea what this would kind of look like. You can read through this. It gives all these details exactly what it is, and it says, fasten the two stones, and Aaron will carry these names on his shoulders as a constant reminder wherever he goes before the Lord. And again, it goes on and gives more details. So on the breastplate, there were rows of these gemstones, each stone having one of the names of the 12 tribes inscribed on it. And again, the high priest would bear the names on these others over his heart. I think it's neat. Because you think of the high priest, and his job was to minister to the people. And what he had on there was the names of these tribes. And to be reminded to bear this over his heart and the responsibility he had. We continue. There's a chess piece in verses 15. All the way through 30. And again, it talks about that, to carry the names of the tribes of Israel on the sacred chest piece over his heart when he goes into the holy place. And then in 31 through the end of the chapter, it says additional clothing for the priest. And this gives more of the basic covering of the priest, made of blue and made so it wouldn't tear. You know, as I read all these details that's given here, and I hope you would read through and spend some time and read through it, it's really amazing to see how God has set apart all of this and created all of this to provide a meeting place, and then also called these high priests and the priest and set them apart to serve his people. Before we close, I'm running a little late. That's what happens when you try. I do want to look at a few things, though, in Hebrews, because this is all over the New Testament. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 8, we're just going to scan through this also, but this is something you should mark in your Bibles as it's talked about here. In Hebrews chapter 8, you can just start with, say, verse, just got it marked in my Bible, in verse 5, it says, they serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning: be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. So now we see in the New Testament, referencing back to Exodus, referencing back to Moses, that here, that this is a copy or shadow of a picture of heaven. Now keep that in your mind. And as we continue, because you think you just turn, for me, I got to turn the page, and you look at Hebrews chapter 9. There's a lot to read here, but this is directly related. Again, listen to this. It says, the first covenant, this is just what we've been talking about, right? The first covenant here between God and Israel has regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room, called the holy place. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was a second room, called the most holy place. In that room was a gold incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered in gold on all sides. Inside the ark was a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that sprouted leaves, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. But we cannot explain all these things in detail now. And it continues in verse 9. This is an illustration pointing to the present time, for the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleaning ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. That's Jesus. So what we see here is an amazing picture. Now, maybe this is going too far. I don't know. I was thinking about this, and I always am interested in, I could spend months and months and months studying on this and looking at all the symbolism, all that's there. I just want to give you an overall picture today. Again, this was I took a ton of information. I just wanted to go through it. But I was thinking about the Holy of Holies. You know, it was about 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet is a cube. Right? There's a cube. So, the Holy of Holies was a cube. Now, but what else do we know? This is where God's presence resided. Where the angels, we see the picture of the cherubim there, right? And then you see, if you would look at the artwork that was on the curtains, right? It was of other beings. We'll look at one last thing. Revelation. Let's look at 21:15, Revelation 21:15. So again, the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet cube, where the presence of God resided. Now, Revelation 21, verse 15. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates and its wall. When he measured it, he found it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, the length and width and height were equal to 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standards used by angels. I don't know. Maybe it's a picture. But it's interesting that we see the new heaven is also a square. There's so much here in Exodus. I don't know for sure of Revelation, if this is what he was given a picture of, with this square, with the presence of God there, with the presence of the angels. But what I do know, that we do see an amazing picture that God wanted to create a meeting place, a place of fellowship between him and his people. And he does the same for us today. We see it in the local church. right? Now, we don't need the high, we have a new high priest, right? Who's our high priest today? Jesus, right? But we have a local church where we come and give our offerings. We come and give our daily sacrifice of ourselves. And we come and we meet. And we come in song, in the study and the reading of his word. And we come in prayer. And we fellowship with God. Now, God isn't just here in this church today. God is everywhere. We know that. But it is special when God's people come together and they worship. So just as God here in Exodus wanted to provide a place of worship, a place where his presence would be known, he gives us that today in the local bodies. I do believe that. And he blesses that. And he blesses those that are part of that. And he wants to fellowship. He wants a relationship. And he wants one that is seeking after him. Again, I apologize. As I taught through this, I was like, do I spend 3 months on this? Or do I just do a quick overview? And I felt that I would just do an overview. And then I'm going to continue through the Old Testament. And I encourage you sometime. There are books and books and books written on the tabernacle. And it's so amazing to dig into and just glean and learn from. And you will be blessed in doing that. But for Wednesday nights, I just wanted to give you a quick overview of what the tabernacle is and what its purpose was, and just study that with you guys tonight. So again, let's pray, let's fellowship, and let's eat together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we could spend together. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us today, as we study your word and we study the tabernacle, Lord, and all your plans that you've given for it, Lord, that we would each learn something tonight about you and who we are in you and the desires that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, there's just so much here and so much depth and so much symbolism, Lord. I don't even know where to start with so much of it, Lord. But I just pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just minister to all of us, Lord, and through this, Lord, that we would just see that you desire a relationship with each and every one of us. You desire fellowship with us. You desire us to come before you and worship you. And so, Lord, thank you for this place that you've given us here, this local body, this local church, Lord. I just pray that you continue to bless it and your spirit also would be present here and just be outpoured on this place, Lord. Please watch over us tonight, Lord. And I just pray for the kids upstairs, Lord, that they were blessed in their Awanas program. And Lord, ask for a blessing on our food tonight. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. God bless you.